If you've ever presented the gospel to the lost, you've most likely used Romans 5:8 in that presentation because it is such a powerful truth. So tonight, Romans chapter 5, we'll look at verses 6 through verse 8 of Romans chapter 5. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's our title. Christ died for us. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the substitutionary death of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It makes everything possible for us, and we can't praise you enough. And we pray as we focus on that this evening, it will just give us a renewed gratitude for our salvation, a renewed fervor to tell others. So guide us in your truth. May you be glorified in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we were without strength, that's a good description of us before we were saved, isn't it? We were useless, hopeless, without strength. Ephesians 2:1 says we were dead in trespasses and sins. Colossians 1:21 says we were alienated and we were enemies of God. We were without strength. And it says in due time, according to God's timetable. This was prophesied of in Daniel, as we know. We've looked at that recently in Daniel. If you go to Galatians 4:4, we'll see that everything happened exactly as God planned it and when God planned it. Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time was come. So when God deemed it to be the time for the Lord Jesus Christ to come to the earth and die as our substitute, when that time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus, if you go to Luke chapter 5, came to save sinners. Luke 5:32. This is something that the Pharisees and the scribes could never comprehend, because they thought that they were righteous. They thought that they had earned heaven by keeping the law and by being Jews. And Jesus kept saying, no, I came to save sinners. Notice here in Luke 5:32, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. We, all of us, all of humankind, are ungodly. We are sinners. We are born sinners. And this is obviously the beginning of the gospel, when we share the gospel with the lost. We start with sin, don't we? We're all sinners. We have all failed God. We've all come short of the glory of God. And we're all ungodly, which is why we need a Savior. Amen? And as he mentions there in verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. When you think about, especially in wartime, people dying for one another. And it has happened many times in the past. But as he mentions, most people wouldn't die for someone else. But as he says there in verse 8, God commended his love. This is all about the love of God leading him to pay for our sins himself. Hallelujah for that. Go to 1 John 4 if you would. This is all about the manifestation of the love of Almighty God. And that's what Calvary is. It is the display of God's love toward mankind. 1 John 4:9, and this, it says, was manifested the love of God toward us in that sorry, because that God sent his only begotten Son of the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. So notice it says first manifested, and then it says in verse 10, herein is love. If you want to see the love of God, what is it? Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word commendeth there in Romans 5:8, it means displayed, or as we see here, manifested. He showed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. Now, we've looked at this before, but our wickedness is great, isn't it? Remember back in chapter 3, down in verse 10, where God describes our wickedness. Let's go back and review it. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:10, there's none that understandeth, none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They're together becoming profitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This is God's description of us. While we were yet sinners. Remember, we looked at all those passages in Mark and in Matthew and other places that describe the wickedness, the sinfulness of man. So when Jesus died on the cross, he died for the ungodly. He died for sinners. Again, which is why we start with sin when we're presenting the gospel. And the consequences of sin, the wages of sin, is eternal death and hell. And then we go to the good news, which is our Creator loved us enough to pay the price that we owed, which was death. And that is the heart of the gospel, the heart of this passage. Christ died for us. We talked about this in Sunday school a couple weeks ago, but if you go to Isaiah 53, verse 6, God talks about how Jesus became that substitute when he died on the cross. Actually, I look at verses 5 and 6 of Isaiah 53, where God prophesied of this great event. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Laid on him. That's what it tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God literally laid our sins on Jesus Christ when he was hanging on that cross. Like we read here, he laid it on him. In Matthew 20:28, Jesus, turn there, Jesus uses the word ransom. And that's exactly what he became when he died at Calvary, Matthew 20:28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom. That's what Jesus did. He died for us. Sin was laid on him. He became a ransom. And then in Galatians 1, if you turn there quickly, Galatians 1:4. And this is all about the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, which is why, again, when you're presenting the gospel, you need to press home the consequences, the penalty that we owe for being sinners is death, eternal death, and Christ died for us. Notice Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Look at Galatians 2:20 while you're in Galatians. I know a lot of you know this verse. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He gave himself. He voluntarily gave himself. And then go to 1 Peter 2, if you would, verse 24. 1 Peter 2:24. So in this passage, God describes us as without strength, as ungodly and as sinners. Good description of us. Good summary of where we stood before we were saved. And yet, Jesus willingly died for us. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. So again, sin was placed on Christ, as we saw in Isaiah 53:6, but he also, for that time, became sin for us, as we read in 2 Corinthians 5:21. But he bare it in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. That is not talking about physical healing, like some of these newer churches want to teach. It's not about the fact that our eternal destiny was healed, our soul was healed. With his stripes we are healed. To try to make that physical healing is to cheapen what salvation does for us, gives us eternal life and rescues us from going to hell to suffer forever and ever. By his stripes we're rescued, we're healed, we're saved. And he was willing to die for the weak, the ungodly, the sinners. When Jesus died on Calvary, he died as our substitute. Hallelujah. For the kindness of our God being willing to do this on our behalf. So if you can only share two verses with a lost person, give them Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And give them Romans 5:8. God commendeth or showed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The wages of sin is death. Christ died for us. He paid the price. And the gift that we can receive if we will admit that God is right and we're wrong and ask him to save us, the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All we have to do is confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. So Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, died for us. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father.